it for us. We have committee substitute for Senate Bill number 15, CRA, an act including public school employees and the Public Employees Relationship Act as Class A2, employees entitled to a limited right to strike, establishing last best offer package for arbitration for resolution of the collective bargaining process for public school employees, and for providing for an effective date. The purpose of the hearing today is to take public testimony on the proposed CS. Two areas we'd like to look at, what class should employees fall under, and whether package or item-by-item arbitration is more desirable. Since we have approximately 30 sites on today, and we have only 3 hours to do the teleconference time, I would like to suggest some guidelines which we would allow for maximum number of people to testify. First, I will be taken here in Juneau for the prime sponsor, education organization, and departments affected by the bill, and I would like this testimony to be brief as possible, and then I will go around the states. The sponsor of this piece of legislation is Senator Duncan. Before we call on Senator Duncan, the committee members here are Senator Pierce, Senator Szymanski, and myself, Senator Adams, the chair. Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to be very brief because there are a lot of folks who want to testify and we want to hear that testimony. Again, I appreciate you bringing this bill up for a hearing. I think the committee substitute generally is a very positive step forward. I support the committee substitute. We've worked long and hard to try to bring together a piece of legislation that would work out most of the major issues. As you indicated, there still are the two outstanding issues of the class that employees would be included in, either class 1, 2, or 3, and the question of whether package or item-by-item arbitration. I, of course, went on the record with the committee earlier supporting certificated personnel into class 1 and item-by-item arbitration, but that's the decision that the committee and the committee substitute has been drafted differently. I think those two issues are issues that the committee should make the decision on and future committees. That's the basis of my testimony. I'll stick around to join in on the telephone.
Okay, thank you, Senator Duncan. The way I'm going to work here in Juneau, we're going to start with Judy Salo with NEA, Carl Rose, Steve McFeeds, Bruce Cummings, and Tom Stewart, then go around the state of Alaska to different sites. Would you state your name for the record, please?
Yes, Chairman Adams and committee members. For the record, I'm Judy Salo, president of NEA Alaska. And I'll try to be real brief. And before beginning, I'd like to thank the committee, and particularly the sponsor of the bill and the committee chair, for all the work and time that's gone into the issue and the compromise that this committee substitute represents. For over a decade, we've known that the bargaining law in Alaska for school employees has been inadequate as a process. While it spelled out a procedure up to impasse, no procedure beyond that point has been in place by statute. And when economic times permitted districts and teachers the resources to more easily reach settlement, the problem existed to a lesser degree, but was still a very uneven power struggle. As resources have become more scarce, the process has been woefully inadequate for mutual bilateral settlement, and we come before you today to say that it is indeed time to deal with this issue. What teachers have wanted for the last 10 years was a process that would provide a more equal incentive to both parties at the negotiations table to seek settlement. And we felt that binding arbitration on a last best offer basis, item by item, would provide that incentive. School boards and districts have opposed the concept, and in some instances they've said the process is working. In other instances, they've said, we're reasonable people and we'll take good care of you. Well, the process is not working, and we are not interested in being taken care of. We are interested in having a true collective bargaining process, one that makes us an equal partner in reaching compromise and settlement at the bargaining table. And recently, the amount of time and energy and financial resources that have gone into working under an inadequate bargaining statute have escalated, and it's clear that with the many challenges that face education in Alaska today, that those resources could be better channeled. The committee substitute before you today addresses many issues of concern. It would provide access to a labor relations agency and would therefore avoid the costly and lengthy court cases that have sometimes answered those same questions that could go there. It does provide access to arbitration through a limited right to strike. It is clear that our members would far prefer access to arbitration without that disruption of educational service. And as we have testified before, we believe that there are very good arguments to be made for inclusion of educators in the essential service category of para and category one. We also strongly believe that item-by-item arbitration would provide the best incentive for settlement of issues at the table and would allow each issue to stand on its own merits rather than being balanced against the others left in the package. In package arbitration, one of the things that I would fear is that if you had a very reasonable offer on an item, instead of settling and signing off at that item at the table, you might rather, if you were going to package arbitration, hold that issue back to help in the total package decision that the arbiter would make. And what we want is the incentive to settle as much as possible between the parties at the table. But in spite of these two problems with the bill, we are asking that you pass this bill out of committee. If you are first willing to amend it to meet and address either of those concerns, that would be great. But since this committee is the first referral, we realize that there will be other opportunities for continuing debate on the issues. Your recognition of the problem, though, and your willingness to address this issue and to let the arguments be heard raise our hopes that a better process will be in place for the future of school board and school employee negotiations in the state. And I have to tell you that this recognition is a terrific morale booster at a time that I think we need that, too. So I encourage your support and your passage of SB 15, the committee substitute. Thank
you. Is there any questions? No questions. Thank you, Ms. Salo. The next person to testify is Mr. Carl Rose. State your name for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Carl Rose. I'm with the Association of Alaska School Boards. Mr. Chairman, by the nature of the title of this bill, Association of Alaska School Boards would oppose this bill. We believe that Title 23 is an appropriate avenue to proceed on in terms of collective bargaining, but we stand opposed to binding arbitration. And in the present category of Class 2, we feel that we oppose binding arbitration. We think that in Category 3, it would be more appropriate, allowing the right to strike. We also recognize that the right to strike is not desirable for either party, and both parties will suffer from a strike. Thereby, I think we need to recognize that and hopefully identify that as an incentive to keep us at the table. Moreover, as we start to talk about the issues of categorical placement, and I do want to make my statement here. We did pre-agree that we would only talk about two issues on this audio conference. And so I'm going to refrain on commenting to other areas of arbitration and just stick to the categorical placement and also the package award. We are very concerned with the placement. We believe that it should be in Class 3 to provide the right to strike. I think that to even consider Class 1 as an option presents a real problem to us. First of all, I think a case can be made that though education is essential and it's the highest priority we have, this is not to suggest that it cannot be interrupted, because it happens every week. It happens every weekend. By statute, we provide an educational session for 180 days a year. So I think this suggests that the public would be at risk because education was interrupted for whatever reason regarding labor relations. I would have to debate that issue. As we start to talk about the arbitration awards, and once again, we oppose arbitration. But if we have to deal with arbitration, we would support the package arbitration. We believe that the issue-by-issue approach offers very little risk for labor. I believe that it wouldn't be a common position for labor to believe that they could come to the table in an item-by-item arbitration and receive anything less than what management has already offered. Moreover, I believe it'll chill the collective bargaining process. I think that you'll find with the excitement that's being felt over binding arbitration currently, I would ask you to watch the collective bargaining system throughout the state from this point forward until the issue is finally settled on arbitration. I think you'll find that pertinent questions at the negotiations table will be delayed until the issue of binding arbitration is settled, upon which time they will know how they have to deal with those requests. those proposals will be at bay until this discussion is decided, and I think there's a reason why. People feel they can get a better shake by taking a look at arbitration. When I say people, I mean labor. Moreover, I think the package does present more risk to both sides. I think it'll cause people to really consider whether they need to go to arbitration or not. If you take a look at the collective cost of a package, you take a look at the collective ability of a district to pay, an arbitrator needs to make those decisions. Frivolous proposals will affect an award adversely. And I think that being the case, it would cause for us to make decisions in terms of what a final best offer would be more in line with what we could accept and live with. I think it will reduce frivolous and unrealistic proposals and thereby offer you more realistic proposals to deal with. I think that the package would actually decrease the desire for arbitration. And I think what we really want to do is we want to present an incentive for people to stay at the table. I believe that those arguments that are hammered out by the parties at the table is the best remedy or finality. With that, I'll answer any questions that you may have.
Is there any questions? Thank you, Mr. Rose. Steve McFreedy, please. We are joined this afternoon by Senator Pashaw and Senator Frank. Would you state your name for the record, please, and who you represent?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Stephen McPeters. I represent the Alaska Council of School Administrators. The Alaska Council of School Administrators continues to oppose any manner of collective bargaining process which imposes binding arbitration as a final step. However, we commend the original sponsor for their willingness to explore other options that the original SB 15 presented. It's a clear sign of their willingness to offer alternatives and compromise for our consideration. The committee substitute of SB 15 places certified and non-certified school employees under Title 23 para and includes them in Category 2 for classification of public employees. While this is the proper Alaska statute to address the age-old issue of collective bargaining for school employees, there are concerns expressed by many of our membership which I bring to your attention for your consideration. The two issues that you have asked us to speak to today are as follows. The bill places school employees in Class 2. It has pointed out that Class 3 would be a more appropriate class for the school employees for several reasons, one of which is the flexibility of the school year and how days missed out of a 180 days requirement can be made up. Therefore, we recommend the Class 3 for school employees. The second issue is under the last best package arbitration, which we agree with. We indeed believe the collective bargaining process is an honorable process and pursued in good faith, and we recommend each party should be required to have presented the last best offer to the other party during negotiations, and each party should be prohibited from amending the last best offer for submission to an arbitrator by indicating final offers to each other prior to arbitration. The need for arbitration will be reduced. I truly believe this issue has far-reaching implications as we should be concerned about our future because we will have to spend the rest of our lives there. This issue is a part of our past, present, and future. It must be dealt with carefully to ensure that orderly, democratic processes of our public school systems and the continued ability of our elected boards to carry out the responsibilities they have been given by their communities to provide effective and efficient schools. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Senator Frank.
Steve, you were talking about the school days, and could you elaborate on that? I wasn't following your line of thinking.
They're required to put in 180 days in the school year by law, and those days can be, your school year can extend from, has to be from within July 1st till June 30th. So therefore, if you have a break in school days, let's say we have now with snowstorms, extreme cold, and these days can be made up at other times. So it does not mean that they're going to be, you have a 12-month period in which there's work to be done. It's a 9-month basis, and that can be a flexible year.
So you're implying that you're not concerned about the possibility of a long-term strike. Is that right?
That's correct.
That's the point of your
comment.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next one I'll call is Bruce Cummings, Department of Administration, Division of Labor. You also have the Department of Administration's position paper before you. Sir, would you state your name for the record and you testify?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Bruce Cummings. I'm Director of Labor Relations in the Department of Administration. The Department of Administration is generally supportive of this legislation, Mr. Chairman. In our position paper, we have noted a couple of technical amendments we would recommend, but the only substantive concern we have is that this would place one bargaining unit of state employees, those being teachers at Mount Edgecombe, in the position of having a different arbitration process available to them than do all other state employees. So we would recommend that and ask that the Mount Edgecombe teachers be excluded from the proposed Section 4, creating a new Section 205 in the law, but that they be Class 2 employees subject to limited strike right and arbitration as it exists under current law.
And that's, at this time, your only suggested change would be that?
Yes.
Mount Edgecombe teachers?
Yes, so that they are treated consistently with all other state employee groups.
Any questions? Yes. Senator Frank.
Sorry, I'm behind the eight ball on this. Now, how would they be different than all the rest of the teachers under your proposal?
This legislation has a proposed amendment to para Section 205, the new arbitration provisions. The teachers at Mount Edgecombe would be different in that they would arbitrate under current provisions, which refer you to Title IX. State statutes. It's conventional arbitration rather than this.
Last best, as opposed to last best offer.
Correct. That's not a reflection of our perception of which is better than the other, simply that we would like all state employees to be negotiating by the same rules, whatever those rules may be.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Do we have a Tom Stewart here with the Department of Labor, or he could be testifying from Anchorage? Sir, Tom Stewart.
This is the moderator
in
Anchorage. Be stepped out for a moment. Can we take the next person in Anchorage?
Yes, we may, ma'am.
Hi, Christine
Testimony. Hello. Ma'am, you may start in Anchorage, please.
And members of the committee, this is Dwayne Hyman, president of the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce, which represents 1,200 member firms. On Friday, March 3rd of this year, the board of the Anchorage Chamber unanimously passed a resolution in opposition to Senate Bill 15. Specifically, the chamber opposes the provision which mandates binding arbitration as the final step in the labor negotiating process. We feel that arbitration itself should be part of the negotiating process and not something required by statute. Arbitration results in an outside third party making the decision on behalf of the party. Also, it encourages posturing during the negotiation to keep an eye on the arbitration position as opposed to the parties effectively working towards a resolution themselves. We feel each area should have the right to determine itself what process is best and not have it imposed on a statewide basis. We feel substituting statewide law for local option is unwise. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hume. I can take at least three more from Anchorage, and I will go to Barrow next and to Fairbanks. If the next three would be available in line as they signed up, B.A. Weinberg, Pam McCarl, and Lee Wilson, please.
Chairman, my name is Al Weinberg.
Al.
I live in Anchorage. I have worked continuously in public education for the past 27 years as a teacher, principal, superintendent, and for the past 10 years as a management consultant for school district. I'm also a parent with children in the public schools of Alaska going back to 1971. The last one is scheduled to graduate in the year 2005, so I have a personal as well as a professional stake in the
matters that are at issue here. Although as a management consultant who specializes in labor relations and who does much collective bargaining for school districts, ironically, I might financially profit from Senate Bill 15 more than any member of NEA Alaska, because I would expect that passage of this legislation would increase the demand for my services. However, as a citizen and as a parent, I am forced to oppose any legislation that would mandate binding arbitration for public school employees. The reason being, the issues that are placed on the bargaining table go well beyond the economic issues. Even though the economic issues are significant, since employee costs generally compose 75 to 85% of the typical school district budget. However, there are many other matters that affect the quality of education, parental rights, student rights, and the management rights of the school district, which are placed on the bargaining table. I believe that it is most inappropriate for these critical decisions that affect public education to be made by a third party who is not a representative of the people, is not accountable to the people for the outcome of the decisions, and has no particular stake in the outcome whatsoever except to collect a fee and move on to the next case. Therefore, with the options before us as to a class for school district employees, I would certainly prefer that they be placed in class 3, which would remove the any imposition of mandatory binding arbitration. If, however, binding arbitration were to become law, I believe that it's much more appropriate to have full package, last best offer binding arbitration. Typically, school teacher bargaining agents put many more items on the bargaining table than do the school districts. On an item-by-item basis, even if some of these items are somewhat frivolous, if they're not well-founded in equity, they can nevertheless take them to binding arbitration on an item-by-item basis and hopefully get lucky on some of them. On the other hand, on a package basis, this would certainly be discouraged. One other aspect of full package binding arbitration that I would like to address is the language that allows the arbitrator to propose compromises and which allows the parties to change their positions at arbitration. In my view, this is a contradiction in terms. Once final offers have been reached, the negotiations process has been concluded, and the parties should go to arbitration and defend their positions as best they possibly can. Otherwise, parties can go to the bargaining table prepared to sandbag the other party by changing their position at the last minute, leaving the responding party inadequate opportunity to deal with the change. If this legislation is to be, I would certainly recommend that all school district employees be placed in Category 3, and if they are placed in Category 2, that the arbitration be final offer, without change, package binding arbitration. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Weinberg. Any questions? If not, we'll call on Pam McCarl.
Senator Adams, members of the committee, my name is Pam McCarl. I represent the 2,600 teachers in Anchorage School District. I was here in 1979 when teachers went on strike, and I can tell you from personal experience, it was professionally and personally one of the most difficult experiences of my life. We learned a number of things in that strike. We learned that strike's impact is not limited to teachers, school districts, and school boards. Our entire community was involved, from students, parents, and business, and the courts. We were on the line for 7 days, yet the negative effects of that strike on relationships and attitudes linger to this day. So the issue of binding arbitration versus right to strike is very much a public issue and not one limited to teachers, educational employees, school boards, and school districts. The public has voiced opinions on this topic time and time again. Numerous polls have been taken. In 1980, Senator Coletta's poll, 84% of the public supported binding arbitration over right to strike. 1981, Representative Phillips, the public support was 76.5%. In 1982, Senator Kelly's poll showed 60% support for it. 1983, NEA Alaska poll showed 90% for it. In 1983, also the Anchorage School District poll conducted by Helensall was 89.9% support of arbitration. 1985, NEA Alaska conducted another poll and there was 86.7% support. And the last poll, 1986, by Senator Kelly, showed 67% support. Teachers agree with the public. The education of our students is too important to be subjected not only to interruption by strikes, but it's too critical to permit the energies of school boards, administrators, and teachers, and our time to be dedicated to strikes when that time and those monies that would be lost in the courts should be dedicated to our students. That's why we urge you to reconsider the amendment to place teachers under Category 2 and instead urge you to place us in Category 1. And the state, similar to police, fire, and hospital employees. Currently, we have no finality, and it's rather ironic that you're considering, what you're considering is two forms of finality under Category 2. We don't need two forms of finality. We need just one, binding arbitration. It does not serve the interests of the public, students, employees, or management to say, go ahead and disrupt our schools and community, and if things get bad enough, and after the damage has been done, then the dispute can go to arbitration. Lastly, I'd like to draw your attention to the record in states with item-by-item arbitration, specifically Iowa and Connecticut. In Iowa from 1976 to 1983, statistics have nearly been constant. Voluntary settlements were consistently higher for monetary items. From 1976 to 1985, only 5% of contract negotiations were submitted to arbitration. In Connecticut, where finality was enacted in 1979 after a major strike in 1978, records up to the year 1985 show that only 34% went to arbitration. The only reason that this is much higher in Connecticut than what is shown in Iowa is, in Connecticut, a town government can challenge a voluntary settlement, but not an arbitration award. So many times, although both parties agree, they go to arbitration to protect their agreements. In light of these very encouraging statistics, we urge you to change the legislation to item by item rather than package arbitration. The incentive for a settlement is very high with item by item arbitration, yet the choices for an arbitrator would be limited to the merits of each issue. The result is an agreement that reflects most closely the wishes of the local and provides a setting for both parties to win in the final settlement rather than just one side winning in package arbitration. Thank you very much for your serious consideration of these suggestions.
Thank you, Ms. McCall. Is there any question? I'll take one more out of Anchorage, and that's Lee Wilson, please.
Mr. Chairman, this is Lee Wilson. I'm Executive Director of Employee Relations for the Anchorage School District. Bill Frick, who is president of the Anchorage School Board, is here with me. I'll try to keep my remarks very brief, and possibly Ms. Frick can make a couple of comments with me. Since the school board has not yet taken an official position on the committee substitute for Senate Bill 15, my remarks are intended to reflect administrative preferences with regard first to the general issue of impasse resolution, and then to provisions of this bill in particular. We believe the resolution of bargaining impasse should be a local matter, if for no other reason than methods which are appropriate to a large urban district like Anchorage may be completely inappropriate for Northwest Arctic, the Kuskokwim, or even Fairbanks. That does not mean that the legislature has no role to play in addressing an issue which has received considerable attention over the last decade. We are prepared to accept that this committee might very well elect, at minimum, to define the options for impasse resolution from which school boards might choose. With that in mind, it may be that the current committee substitute bill might serve the purpose of providing local choice, but one important change is recommended, and that is the placement of all school district employees into Class 3 of the Public Employee Relations Act rather than in the Class 2 as the bill currently provides. Class 3 assignment would establish for district employees the right to strike, but would also give the local boards the option of negotiating into collective bargaining agreements provision for binding arbitration if they so choose. It would also protect districts from compulsory arbitration if it is judged that strikes constitute an acceptable method of settling bargaining disputes. With regard to the type of binding interest arbitration which might be accessible to district employees by local option, we strongly support the committee's endorsement of last best offer package arbitration with no opportunity provided to the arbitrator to alter either package, and recommend that method as the only form of arbitration to be permitted. That restriction would require a change in AS 234200F, which currently references the Uniform Arbitration Act. Our administrative position is that item by item arbitration would constitute a substitute for collective bargaining rather than an extreme and onerous method for forcing settlement following the failure of good faith negotiations. Thank you very much for the opportunity to provide this testimony. If possible, I'd like to pass the microphone to President Frick.
Go ahead, Mr. Frick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Angus School Board has not taken an official stand on the Senate Bill 15. We have agreed that we do not favor the placement of employees in Class 2, that if we had to choose, we would choose Class 3. We have scheduled a hearing 2 weeks from this past Monday for public testimony, and will in all probability reach a group decision at that time. The other thing that we agreed on was that we feel that some legislation could be passed that would leave the option to local school boards. Other than that, Mr. Wilson has covered what I have to say very, very thoroughly. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Frick. We're going to leave Anchorage. We're going to go up to Point Barrow. The first to testify up there would be Leona Opapo, then David Wilson, please.
Thank you, Senator Adams. This is Leona Opapo, School Board President for the North Lebar School District. We'd like to thank you and the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee for giving us the chance to testify. As you know, we as a board are opposed to the concept of binding arbitration because we feel that the powers of the local school boards would be diminished greatly, and therefore the good faith collective bargaining would no longer have its place in the negotiating process. We as a school board, as elected officials, are accountable to the public and to our electorate for school policy and proper and fair distribution of school finances. And since that a fact remains that a majority of our teachers are fairly new residents, and also they are just one segment of the total population that we as elected officials have to serve. And I think that the balance of power would be unbalanced there because of binding arbitration. There are some concerns regarding the committee substitute that I'd like to voice. One is that we would prefer to have, if we are going to go to mandatory binding arbitration, that we go to Title 23 para Class 3 rather than Class 2 to keep the local option open. And we also prefer to keep it as a total package arbitration if arbitration is in fact needed, because this would provide the arbiter a global picture of what they are dealing with. Also, we feel that the length of that, the length would be shortened and the cost reduced through total package arbitration. We also need to remember that if we go to Class 2, the binding arbitration, there we would have to remember that there are some states, 5 states in fact, that have overturned the Supreme Court, that have been overturned by the Supreme Court, the binding arbitration laws. And why would Alaska want to go to binding arbitration if those that have tried it have felt the need to repeal those laws? And one more thing that we need to remember is that the impact on kids, if there is in fact some, if there, the binding arbitration in fact goes through, and that we would have to put our money into the union demands rather than programs, because something has to give. And if binding arbitration puts more money into salaries and benefits, it does impact the kids, and after all, the reason that we are all here. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ocampo. The next one in Barrow was Dave Wilson, please.
Yes, I'd like to thank Chairman Adams and all the legislators that are working on this issue. My name is Dave Wilson, and I'm president of the Teachers Association for the North Slope Borough School District. Concerning collective bargaining, without collective bargaining, the parity potential imposed by binding arbitration is hardly an equitable process. It is decidedly one way. The bargaining process, as the name suggests, bargaining, implies parity or evenness in position. Without binding arbitration, the bargain is a facade. The balance of power is predetermined and weighted entirely in management's direction. A case in point, our most recent round of negotiations in Barrow, after reaching impasse, we did go to arbitration. $11,000 was paid to the arbitrator by both sides for the decision, and when returning to the negotiating table, the district's negotiator refused to consider the arbitrator's report at all, did not even care to open the package up and discuss any items. So there's really no mandate that we get down to serious negotiations without some finality. We need binding arbitration. What I'd like to make is concerning we believe that there's a major difference between Class 2 and Class 1. Class 2 would put us in with snow removal and sanitation employees. And a major difference, I think, between teachers and those employees is that teachers do not deal with inanimate objects. The educational process depends on the quality of the relationship among teachers, administrators, and the community. A strike will decidedly deteriorate the quality of that relationship. In the North Slope, we have 7 villages. To a great extent, the quality of the educational process is dependent upon the quality of the relationship with the teacher and the village. In the villages, at the end of the day, the teacher cannot get in a car and drive to the other side of the town. They are in the community and a close-knit part of the community. Striking in rural native villages would be totally wrong, we believe.
Make it on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson from Barrow. Is there any questions? Yes. Senator Pushill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had one comment. I wouldn't necessarily downplay the importance of sanitation workers.
Thank you. We're going on to Fairbanks.
Fairbanks.
The first one in Fairbanks that we have is Susan Annis, please.
Thank you. I am a non-certified support staff employee, and I work as administrative secretary for an elementary school here in the Fairbanks School District. I am president of the Education Support Staff Association. To appreciate the opportunity to address this issue, and I would like to thank Senators Adams and Duncan and the rest of the committee and Alaska Association of School Boards for their cooperative efforts in working on this matter. I support passage of Senate Bill 15 and note that the committee substitute, which would place school employees under para, is viable. The Public Employee Relations Act has been in place and has well served public employees for 15 years. However, I strongly encourage you to consider that all school district employees should be placed in Category 1 and that arbitration, if entered into, should be item last best offer as opposed to package last best offer. My comments to you today are from my own local perspective. I've been a member of 2 bargaining teams and was spokesperson for a contract recently bargained between the school district and our Education Support Staff Association. My association and the school board entered into negotiations in April of 1988 to bargain a successor contract to the one that was to expire. expire June 30th of 88. 11 months later, this very March of 1989, we finally ratified a two-year contract, which is retroactively effective to July 1st of 88. There was no excuse for this bargaining to continue for 11 months. We truly experienced how the absence of adequate bargaining law for school employees, a law that would bring finality to the process, led to exhaustive expenditures of human and financial resources for both the district and the association. Bad binding arbitration, both sides would have had strong incentive to reach settlement. Contrary to what seems to be a popular perception, employee associations are not anxious to put the negotiations process in the hands of a third party. People with any knowledge of labor relations and the negotiation process know that the primary objective in negotiations is to reach a mutual settlement that both parties can live with and feel good about. Negotiations should be, and in my own previous experience have been, a win-win situation. Putting issues of negotiations in the hands of an arbitrator creates a win-lose situation for the parties involved. However, we do have to recognize that there are times when agreement cannot be reached through the mutual give and take of negotiations. Therefore, it is my association's position that binding arbitration is needed. Binding arbitration has already been proven extremely effective in disputes that arise from unresolved grievances. And as a matter of fact, our district and our association have agreed to the use of binding arbitration for this reason for 8 years. In considering binding arbitration versus employees having a limited right to strike, I think we need to remember that if our state has any obligation to provide services, education is a top priority. The education of our children is the development of a natural resource. Thusly, the employees who are chosen to provide educational services to our children should not be forced to strike in order to provide a balance of power in the bargaining process. Furthermore, employees do not want to have to strike, and the public does not want strikes, as has been noted in previous testimony. With regard to item last best offer versus package last best offer arbitration, I would like to cite my recent experience with advisory arbitration. In the advisory arbitration award rendered to the district in my association, the arbiter argued each issue for its own merit and gave well-thought rationale for each issue. I tried to imagine the outcome of our negotiations with our district had the arbitrator had to decide between the district's last package and our last package. What I determined was that no matter which package would have prevailed in this example, either way, I see a situation that would have disastrous outcomes. Both sides would have withstood grave loss. The anger that would be generated by the so-called loser toward the so-called winner would be tremendous. The one-upmanship attitude that would prevail by, again, the so-called winner would demoralize the losing side for a long time to come. Believe me, this kind of rift does not stay simply between the employer and the employee. It permeates the entire system, and it affects the children, and it affects the community. In summary, I would like to note that much of the current urgency of this issue stems from the fact that our oil resources are limited. This is currently affecting funding for schools. Yet enrollment is not declining, so the demand for educational dollars never abates. Now more than ever, school districts and educational employees need finality to the bargaining process. We need a law that will serve the best interests of those affected. Adding school employees to PARA and classifying them under Category 1 and designating item last best offer is what we need. And I'd also like to note, I don't believe all of us are signed up to speak, but there are 10 both certificated and non-certificated people here in support of Senate Bill 15 with and.
Thank you, Senator Adams. I'm Francis Sarkey. Ed Gagnon has just stepped off for a minute. There are three of us that are going to address the issues that are at least.
I can take one person at this time from Uniclete. Can I have one person testify, please?
Hi, My name is Francis Soxie, and I have been a part member of the Board of Education, Dagger Street School District, for 8 years. I am an Eskimo in the residential Inuvik. First, I would like to thank the committee for this opportunity to speak on behalf of the Dagger Street School District Board of Education, and hope that my testimony will give you some perspective how Senate Bill 35 and its substitute on fighting arbitration will affect the communities and schools in our region. I would like to go on record saying that I strongly oppose CSSB 15 on fighting arbitration, not only as a board member, but as a parent who lives in this community where education is a top priority. I see no benefit in allowing outside agents making decisions that will have long-term effects on the children and students we serve. I see CSSB 15 as taking away the authority that has been given to the elected officials of the school. The people of our region elect board members to serve as their representatives and to make decisions that are based on what is best for our children's education. Sometimes these decisions may be unpopular, such as reducing educational programs, student activities, or salaries of employees, and our funding has been reduced. But making those decisions is a part of what we are elected to do and gives us local control. By allowing an outside arbitrator who knows little or nothing about our situation to make final decisions, takes the local control away from the elected board members and ultimately from the people who elected them. Who knows more about what the needs are than the elected officials who live, work, and have children in school that they serve? They have a personal vested interest in choosing best educational programs, the best student activities, and the best staff for our children. The authority to make such decisions and to determine the allocation of public funds be eroded by allowing an outsider to decide what be local issues. Employees who work for the Bering Strait School District are very well treated. We have hundreds of teacher applicants each year seeking employment with our district. Teachers who work for CSSD can receive over $50,000 in salary and have complete medical and life insurance, subsidized housing benefits, worth only 9.5 months. However, many teachers are transients who enjoy the benefits, then move on. On the other hand, elected school board members are local community members who have a commitment and a vested interest in the children at their local school. An outside arbitrator could not possibly know what is in the best interest of our children and what is best for our school. The current working conditions for employees of CSSD have been achieved through a good faith bargaining labor relations negotiations process, which has not included binding arbitration. The successful outcome from these negotiations are made through local control and not through an outsider mandating what may not be the wishes of the people. As I understand the process, this committee is also looking at Title 23 ERA, the possible framework for binding arbitration. Again, I am opposed to this action, and I would like to request that you give the school board members, parents, and community members more time to study, understand, and discuss the effects of CARA. I feel that there has not been enough time to research the long-term effects that this will have on our school district. In summary, I wish to once again thank you for this opportunity to comment. I hope that you will seriously consider what I have reported to you in regards to my opposition on fighting arbitration and keeping labor relations under local control. The act that created REAs gave us local control. This bill will redefine what we have come to know as local control. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Soxie. You have a question coming at you from Senator Szymanski. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Soxie. You've been there for 8 years as part of the school board.
and you've indicated that you'd like to maintain local control. One of the questions that many people have asked about is, what has the performance been with regard to your local school board or rural school boards with regard to the teachers or the employees and the ability to, on an annual basis or whatever the period is the contracts go for, been able to have been successful in signing additional new contracts? Has there been any delays or problems?
Senator Szymanski, I will defer that question and have Mr. Gagnon, our superintendent, answer that to you. I was not on the board when the last negotiations process was on.
8 years?
Senator Szymanski, there was a delay that was occurred during the last negotiations, but the negotiations were settled, and currently we have a three-year agreement.
How long was the delay? Hello?
Give me a mic.
Yeah, we're discussing that now. Certainly there was a delay into the following year before the negotiations were settled.
Okay, thank you. I was just curious if you happen to know whether or not it was at least another year.
This is the Chairman. We will be coming back to all sites, Anchorage, Fairbanks, but I'm going to continue. We've got 25 more communities that would like to testify. Taking one more from Juneau, then going into Wrangell. Here in Juneau, Russell McDowell.
Thank you, Senator Adams. I appreciate the opportunity to be here at the Senate hearing and speak in support of Senate Bill 15. I'm president of the Juneau Education Association, and part of my remarks will represent my speaking on behalf of the local teachers association. Additionally, I will speak somewhat from a personal point of view because I have three children of my own currently in the Juneau school system. My experience with negotiating has been that I'm a recent survivor of a two-year negotiations process here in Juneau that was initiated at the request of the Juneau School Board. This two-year process featured a reopener clause in our existing contract that the school board asked for because they were facing a looming budget deficit. Their initial bargaining position that they stuck to for over a year was that any future budget deficits they faced, 76% of those should be taken from teacher salaries. Since we did not agree to that, we went through a federal mediation and advisory arbitration. And then after the timelines ran out on our existing negotiated agreement, we had a unilaterally imposed 5% salary cut imposed upon us by the school district. A grievance was filed on that, and then we went through a binding arbitration in relation to the grievance that was eventually won by the local school board. And the reason that it was won was on a kind of a technical point that the intent of signing a reopener clause to help the district through a budget deficit meant that we had agreed to give up our existing contract. We presented testimony to the contrary, but the arbitrator came down in favor of the board on that particular decision. I am now working for approximately the same salary that I was working for in 1984-1985. It's very close, within a few dollars. The thing that was upsetting to many of us here in Juneau about this process was the prohibitive cost in terms of time, effort, energy that we expended, morale that we suffered the loss in, and the loss of the working relationship with the school board. The cost was very prohibitive. I felt real bad about it until I thought for a moment and realized I could have been in Wrangell where a similar process had gone on for almost 4 years before they got a negotiated agreement. They didn't have quite the problems that we did, but nonetheless, they went through a very extensive period of negotiations. I think clearly the time has come for a final step in bargaining. The prohibitive cost of these long, drawn-out affairs with technical points determined by legal advice is simply circumventing the education process and the meaning of collective bargaining as it was originally written into state law. In the final 2 points I would like to make, I had hoped that when the bill came up for discussion that if binding arbitration were passed, school employees, teachers, would be put in Category 1. I have three children of my own, and I don't want to see their education interrupted by a strike, nor the education of any other child interrupted by a strike. And I especially don't want to see the hard feelings that come out of a strike in any community, especially some of the smaller ones where everybody has to work extremely closely with one another. However, I realize that the bill as it exists calls for teachers to be placed in Category 2 with a limited right to strike. I can live with that. I would simply hope that strikes be enjoined as quickly as possible so we can get on with the educational process. In terms of whether or not an arbitrator should rule on a package approach or item by item, my personal feeling is that it should be item by item. In our recent negotiations, we worked very hard on personnel rules. One of the things we tried to incorporate was some affirmative action language to allow some of the local native teachers just starting out to get some experience so they would qualify for positions that came open within the district. We tried to do that in a way that would not impact any teacher who had an existing job, right? And I would hate to see a personnel matter like that be thrown out because it wasn't part of a package that fit. And so I prefer item by item finality as established by an arbitrator. Those are the extent of my remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McDowell. Any questions? Thank you very much. Going down to Wrangell, we have two people there, Bill Pervet and Wallace Smith. For those communities that I've already hit, I plan to, if we have time, to go back to your communities to get people that would like to testify further. Go ahead in Wrangell, please.
Yes, my name is Bill Pervet. I'm a school board member down in Wrangell, and I represent the school board and the Wrangell School District today. We would like to go on record in opposition to binding arbitration. Concerning the committee substitute, we would prefer the Class 3 category under para in terms of this document. And if we had to go to a level of arbitration, we would support the package arbitration. I think this, a lot of folks have talked about this situation today, and I don't really have anything more to add that hasn't already been said. So I'll turn the microphone now over to Butch Schmidt, also from Randall.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Wallace Smith, and I represent the Wrangell Teachers Association. I've just experienced 4 years of good faith bargaining over the same contract. We finally got it settled after 3 years of a retroactive settlement. Wrangell cannot survive many more of these experiences. If we had had binding arbitration, it would have been settled after the first 2 years of good faith bargaining. We had impasse, we went to mediation, then advisory arbitration. Our arbitrator was mutually selected by both the school board and the teachers association. It ended up to be a gentleman who was a professor of law in Washington State whose specialty was contract law. He taught in the law university. This gentleman came up to Wrangell and spent 2 days with us going over the budget, listening to all sides of both arguments. And then, after deliberation, sent us a report after about a month, which ruled in favor of the school district on every item but one. The school board elected to ignore this gentleman's report, and we experienced 2 more years of good faith bargaining. We really do need binding arbitration for finality in bargaining. The energies involved in education do not belong in negotiating. They belong in teachers being in front of the students as much as possible. I think a lot of the problem with this law is that we're dealing with legislation and not looking at the problem of education. We need to understand the mechanics of education, which, in my opinion and our district's opinion with the teachers, is that we need the best qualified and most enthusiastic people in front of the students as much as possible. Going through long turmoils of negotiating has a dramatic negative effect on the morale of the teachers, and by nature we have to be a sensitive lot to deal with the changing moods of the students and the relativeness of each student. And they're going to be dramatically affected by long-term negotiating. We do need binding arbitration, and we do not want legislation that will deter the process of having the school teachers and the Board of Education working opposed to each other. And that's what would happen if we had the right to strike. Striking would separate the school board from the teachers, as it has been in Wrangell for the past 4 years through this negotiating process. We do not want legislation that would impose more separation. We have to be working with the school board so we can have one opportunity to enhance the education of our community. Therefore, in conclusion, we do support this bill if it was to classify the teachers as Class 1 and also to include item-by-item arbitration. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm going over to Glenn Allen. I know there's a list of people that would like to testify. In order to save time, I'd like one individual from NEA and one individual from either the school board or the administrators, please. At this time, I'm going into Glenn Allen. Is there somebody from NEA there, please?
Yes, there is.
Go ahead, please.
This is moderator Juno Glenn Allen. Are you online? Okay, please proceed.
My name is Andy Zajac. I'm a teacher. I've been a teacher for 20 years in Alaska. I have taught 15 years in the Copper River School District. I have served on several negotiations teams, once as a speaker, two or three times as a member of a team. I support the concept of finality in the bargaining process through binding arbitration. Therefore, I support Senate Bill 15. I'm tired of the tremendous waste of time and energy required for the negotiations process. I'm tired of the legal maneuverings which take time away from the classroom. I'm tired of the waste of money spent on disputes, money which should go to kids. And I am tired of the animosity among colleagues and community members. I think non-binding arbitration is meaningless, a waste of time and money. I think strikes are deplorable. And I think school boards have all the power. They really don't have to negotiate. They just can say no forever. From my side of the table, that's not right. I don't know what the final answer shall be, or will be, but I think there has to be a better way of solving our differences. I think Senate Bill 15 is a step in the right direction. I think also forward funding would help. So therefore, I strongly urge you to support Senate Bill 15. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Zajac. Is there somebody there from either the school board or for the administration, please?
My name is Billy Williams, and I'm the chairman of the Copper River School District Board of Education. I also serve as a director on the Association of Alaska School Boards. I've lived some 20 years in the Copper Valley and have served on the regional board for 9 years. And I'd like to go on record as opposed to binding arbitration. I think there's some things we need to consider. I agree with many of the things that have been said by people in opposition already today, and I don't want to be repetitious. But there's two separate goals here that we need to be aware of. Many of these polls and things we've heard quoted can be interpreted depending on who's giving the questions and how they compile the information. I can start right off by saying I'm against binding arbitration, but at the beginning of this teleconference, you asked us to consider the three options in the bill, SB 15. Well, out of those three options, item three, category three, is the least offensive to me. But as I've already stated, I'm opposed to binding arb. If I agree with category three as the least offensive, you could go on record and say that Billy Williams supports binding arb category three, which I definitely don't. So please take that into consideration whenever you're looking at these people's testimonies. the way this information is set up is to try to get people to say which one they would be least objected to, not whether they like Binding Arb or not. So that concerns me. But as an elected official, I'd like to look at one other thing that's often ignored. We're elected to represent the values, the goals, and the interests of the parents of the children in our school district. Now, our testimony centers from a different philosophy than that of employees who are looking for fringe benefits and bargaining benefits and that sort of leverage. I'd like to make that really clear, that even the school board members and the Association of School Board Directors, we represent we're the elected representatives of the people. We're the grassroots input of the parents of the school system. And I have a little trouble trying to feel the power that NEA seems to have in lobbying in Juneau to getting these types of bills and this legislation presented. Whenever they represent an employee group, they don't represent all the parents and students in the state. And one other thing I'd like you to take into consideration is the difference in the philosophies. We've had quite a time here in Copper River. We've been in the news a lot. There's been a lot of issues. I have in my possession here a letter from Mr. Tom Nelson, who is a member of NEA Alaska AEA for 18 years. And he writes this letter to, I think it's Pam McCarl in Anchorage. And one of the things that really interests me that really outlines the difference in our philosophies as elected representatives of the children and as employee bargaining representatives is a paragraph in his letter. And this letter was dated August 23rd, 1988. And it's Dear Pam, and you go down the bottom of the page, says, I sincerely hope you were not taken in by the editorial in the Daily News. If you too think that we, AEA, are a public service organization devoted to serving the citizens and children of this community under the full glare of public scrutiny, then things have gone even further than I feared. AEA Alaska hires people to be union employees, I hope, not examples to be held up to the public. Such examples are mostly hired over at the Anchorage Christian School, I think. And that's a direct quote out of Mr. Nelson's letter. He's also a member of the PTPC. So please take into consideration the interests that are represented when you're taking this testimony into account. And once again, you know, the elected representatives in the Copper River School District, we face the Superior Court, we face Federal Bankruptcy Court, we face the PTPC interfering with our administration of the schools. I personally faced a recall, which I recently won. And I don't mind that kind of responsibility, but if you're going to have binding arbitration, if you're going to have right to strike, you have teacher tenure laws, then you're not leaving much for me to do, much authority to deal with the responsibility you're asking me to assume. So along those lines, I'd like you to consider my testimony, and I'd like to be recorded as being against binding arbitration, against SB 15.
Thank you very much, Mr. Williams. Is there any questions? Yes, Senator Szymanski.
I was just curious, can you tell me how much your local contribution is to the school effort?
There's a large section of the pipeline which runs through the Copper River Valley, and the state derives money off that oil well to redistribute to us through the foundation program.
I see. Is that what you're terming your local contribution?
Brought up the term local contribution. I didn't. Although we did do a survey in our community several years ago, with some legislators that seemed intent on forcing this area into a borough, we found that there's well over $100,000 in 1 year that we were able to document that the members of the community and the staff and the people throughout the district had contributed back to their schools in the form of money, time, and material.
I'm sorry, you may be a little defensive about the question. I was being serious because I didn't know what you did contribute, but obviously absence of statement is that no, you don't contribute to the local school effort, and it's 100% state. And I was just kind of curious whether or not there was a correlation between that and the way you manage your schools.
I have a little trouble interpreting what the intent of your question.
Okay, we'll take it up at a later date.
I'll be in Juneau tomorrow night.
Thank you very much. We're going on to Valdez. Is there Sarah Irving, please?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, please.
My name is Sarah Irwin, and I'm a school board member from Valdez City School. I'm here to state my opposition to binding arbitration as it affects the public school system. I believe an elected school board member has a duty to provide for the best possible education with the available resources. Through binding arbitration, these resources can be seriously undermined, thereby eroding the ability to deliver quality education at a reasonable cost. I believe Connecticut's school system is an example of a system tied to binding arm, was consistently escalating school costs over its 10-year period of enforcement. If we are forced to go to binding arbitration per Senate Bill 15, I support Class 3 category, allowing binding arb as a local option. I believe strongly that those people elected to local school government should jointly determine what is best for their school system, with no forced dependency on a detached third party. Feelings can be polarized in the schools and community if decisions that belong to local government are made by a third party outside agency with no sensitivity as to how the present workings of the school system were formulated. Should it become necessary to choose an acceptable type of binding arbitration, I support package arbitration as it decreases dependency on arbitration and it's a shorter, less expensive method of achieving desirable results. In conclusion, I urge you to allow local boards the option of choosing how to effectively manage their school systems. For the future, it's surely going to impose some economic restrictions on our state. Please do not impose any financial obligation on our children's education. We will be hard-pressed to fulfill. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Irving. Is there anybody there from NEA to testify?
No, there is not.
Thank you very much. I'm going over to Kodiak. Kodiak, if I can have one person from NEA and one from either the school board or the administrator, please.
Yes, my name is Tom Simpler. I've been a teacher in the Kodiak school system for the past 24 years. Certainly appreciate the opportunity that the committee is providing to us this afternoon to five in regards to Senate Bill 15. I've been intimately involved in virtually the negotiations of every contract that we've had here since 1965 when I arrived. I've negotiated prior to 1971 when we had no law at all, and subsequent to that have been involved in negotiating under the law since 71. I would have to say from my perspective that looking over the whole spectrum of that time, that there's not a whole lot of difference negotiating absent the law or with the law. The major differences are that we, under the current law, we do have an expeditious way of getting into the process, have one mode of solving resolutions, that's mediation, and beyond that, beyond the arbitration or advisory arbitration step, we're just kind of in a vacuum. Our association has tried for year after year to obtain binding arbitration or some form of finality to this law to provide a meaningful closure to the process in an acceptable time frame. I guess our responsibility today is just to address the two concerns that have been brought up by the committee with regard to how we should implement the arbitration process. And I certainly want to go on record as favoring that that you change us over to Category 1. If you look back over the history of strikes and near strikes in this state, I think you can go to Anchorage, and I still have a lot of friends over there, and the ill feelings caused by the strike of 1979 are still prevalent over there. We ourselves here in Kodiak in 1976 went through a similar situation where we spent a month building up to a near strike situation, and on the eve of that near strike, we managed to settle the contract. But the ill feelings that were created by that circumstance are still prevalent in the community. Strikes don't settle problems. They don't settle negotiations. They're counterproductive. The legal hassles that will be created are going to be extremely expensive. And in the long time there, in the long run, they're just not going to provide a way of settling contracts. A strike is not finality by any means. So I would certainly support a change in the current committee substitute to encourage you to put us under Category 1 of PARA. As far as package versus item-by-item arbitration, again, I'd like to go on record, and I believe I represent the 150 members of the Kodiak Teachers Association in saying that we believe that package or item-by-item arbitration is the best way to go. This provides an opportunity for each item to rest on its own merit and provides for a method of a more acceptable or a more accepting agreement. Again, thank you for the opportunity to talk this afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Simpler. Is there anybody there from the school board or administration, please?
Yes, this is John Wittevine, and I am the superintendent of schools of the Kodiak School District. And while the board has not taken an official position at this point on
on binding arbitration. We have discussed it and are opposed to binding arbitration. In the event that this piece of legislation, however, were to be passed, the district's position is that we would support Class 3 with a local option and also consider it as a package arbitration. I would have to say that I was on the teachers' negotiating team in 1976, and I do have a history of involvement with negotiations in this district.
Okay.
The last negotiations that we finished with the teachers, which was a three-year contract, did go to advisory arbitration. It did take some 7 months at the table and about 10 months overall, if you include the summer. It was successful in reaching a three-year agreement. Ultimately, if the conflict over salary negotiations, however, is to be removed from the local community, then while it may not be a universally held opinion, I think perhaps it's time for the legislature to continue or to begin the discussion back to a statewide salary. If the issue is to be removed from the local community, then maybe it's better addressed directly with the legislature. If you wanted to go to the point of binding arbitration, then let those two positions be presented to the legislature. And other than that,